I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
They're excited because it's a big day today, right? We've got to get Satan's Lake of Fire.
Yeah.
Got to get it tuned up. Got to get it fired up.
3 bodies to throw into Satan's Lake.
I know.
Watch them burn and fizzle.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious who the bodies are because it's the week's biggest story, which I just heard the newscast and Blake Trolley, the protesters showed up anyway, even though there's no city council meeting and they can't get inside. They just stood there yelling outside.
You know,
but the media showed up too to cover them. So there you go.
You know that what the reporters ought to do is do a little polling. How many of you work for a living? How many of you get government checks and you're living off those? That's the stat I want to know. I can't stand the attention given to protesters. I think it's one of the worst things about our society and our media. Because nobody ever stopped to think, what if most of the people in these districts want to keep their guy? Oh. Right? What if most of Kevin DeLeon's district wants to keep him? They're not the ones protesting. Why should we go by the desires?
We may find out if he never quits and he's up for re-election in 2 years and he weathers through this. We may find that out, huh?
If you're happy with what he does.
Wouldn't that be a wild result?
Well, because most normal people I know, you know, who actually pay attention to, some issues, right? They have some philosophy on how they want the world to run. They'll look at their guy and say, oh, well, he votes the way I want him to, right? I agree with him on these issues. Now, if that's what DeLeon is doing for his people, right? He's not my guy, right? But obviously there's people who like him in his district. Well, are they going to toss him out because he laughed at Nuri Martinez's comments? Or made the Louis Vuitton joke? That's hard for me to comprehend. I don't think normal people are like that.
There are no normal people. I wish you'd stop using that word. No, they don't exist anymore.
No, they are, but they're quiet.
Nah, everyone's crazy. You're crazy. I'm crazy. We're all crazy in our own way.
I agree. You're crazy. But I mean, there's woke people. There's activists. There's people who play to the media. That whole crowd. And I was reading the LA Times story on Kevin DeLeon today. I was this high-flying politician for so many years, president of the Senate. And
high-flying. He's always been a dud.
No.
They just elevated him because he won elections and he's Latino.
Yes.
Right. He's a dud.
Well,
He's like Tony Villar. It's
yes,
the same.
As an intellect, he's a dud. But he did get places in his profession. And so you have to ask, why is he getting...
You're in districts with very few people voting. You just got to get labor unions behind you or something like that, and you go.
Okay.
But I mean, look who they were meeting with. That powerful labor union with 800,000 members. Well, that's what helps elevate those guys.
Well, I know. So he was doing what the labor union wanted to do, which was redraw the districts, give more power to Latino
voters.
Yeah, that was the idea. So obviously in his district, he has mostly Latino voters. He didn't do anything in that meeting to offend Latino voters, did he? He might have done something to offend black voters, but he doesn't rely on black voters very much to begin with. So exactly who in his district is upset with him? Who in his
then
district?
You may have explained why he didn't resign.
Well, I was thinking if I was
if he runs for a bigger office outside his district, it might be a little touch and go for him to win.
That's years from now, though. That's years. Well, what you have to do is survive till tomorrow. It's $207,000 base salary plus all the pensions and the healthcare benefits and all the other money sloshing around under the table. I just don't understand why everybody automatically thinks people should resign or are going to resign if they're... Because I don't buy into this silence is violence nonsense that you're supposed to denounce your friend and walk out of the room because they made an improper joke.
The implication is you agree. It's funny and you feel the same way. Well, then you're the same as Nuri Martinez in their minds.
In their minds, yeah. But again, in normal people's minds, I mean, none of us.
Oh, I think a lot of people are reading this scandal that way. That's how it's playing out, I think, around the country.
Are his people? Yeah.
They were definitely racist against black people, because that's where most of the brunt of the comments went.
Yeah, but what do his people think? What do his people in his district that vote?
1,000 voters? That matter?
It matters for him to make $200,000 a year to keep that position.
I think he is going to quit. I think it's going to come after this weekend. Supposedly. But what John's talking about is a story in the LA Daily News that perhaps one of the reasons neither one of them is quitting is that does pay $207,000 a year. And in the case of Cedillo, the longer he hangs in there, that's better for his pension.
Is that a good society, though, where you have illegal taping of private conversations and then people are kicked out of their job for what they didn't say? I just have a hard time accepting that this is a good way for everyone to live.
Well, they didn't like what he said about Bonin. Using his child is like a luxury assessment, a handbag or something like that. And he had something to say, I think, about the Oaxacans, too. We made a joke there. It isn't like he said nothing. You're making it sound like didn't even participate.
No, but he did. But the thing is,
a Kevin DeLeon defender. This is interesting.
Because I'm separating what he did. I don't think you...
You can't separate.
Sure I can.
You
I can't
separate.
Well, look, if the guy did so many great things, like in the LA Times article, they talked about, he got...
I ignored that article because it's BS.
No, I didn't. But no. That's a bigger point here. That he got climate change legislation passed, that he got sanctuary city legislation passed. It's like, well, look at all the good he's doing in your eyes, and now you're going to toss him over a stray comment in a private meeting?
Today, race trumps everything. That's where we are now.
I know, but
everything's tribal. Everything's about race. Right. Doesn't matter what you've done.
And do you want to stay there? Do you want to stay in with that kind of environment where
not my choice.
But private comment.
Watching the country go this way every day, every show I see, every story I see. That's all it is.
Right.
I assume people are reading it and absorbing it, so that's why it's selling.
Well, it sells to a small percentage of people.
I don't think so. It's getting bigger. I don't think you're right.
But most audiences for most shows
you surround yourself too much with your bubble of people, where you're not really aware of what people are absorbing and believing.
You think most people feel that everybody's supposed to be hypersensitive about every private joke?
I think people feel like there's a lot of racial tension in the country, and we do have to watch what we say. Yeah, I do think a lot of people feel that
privately.
Way. Well,
I don't think so.
But privately indicates your real character and personality. As I told you this yesterday, this gives people insight into who they really are.
Rather than
the nonsense politician blank slate they try to make themselves.
You know what I got out of that? They all hate Bonin. They're ripping on Bonin more than anything else. It wasn't so much, about his kid.
Yeah, but the comment about Gascon and Bonin, he's with the blacks, he's the black one. See what they're doing? I mean, that really struck me the most. That's really what this is about, trying to get their districts because they're angry that there's more black representation on the city council than Latino. That's really what I got out of it. That's what they wanted to fix. That's what they're bitter about. And they're looking at a couple of white guys, Gascon's Latino, but Cuban. And then Bonin said, well, he's with the blacks. We can't count on him.
I just think you'd hear that stuff from every single person in politics. Because everybody is so in politics is so identifies with race one way or the other that I find a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of public preening and pomposity going on now. As you're just lucky your conversations weren't recorded. That's what I would say to those politicians. Anybody who's carrying on holier than thou, it's like, okay, you're just asking for somebody to drop a recorder in your meeting room.
All right, we got more coming up. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I was just looking at the ballot because I'm not voting yet. John said don't vote yet, but well, I did vote for governor yesterday. I have to tell you that. I filled in the circle.
All right. Well, you could always erase it.
For Brian Dolley. You want me to vote for Newsom?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to vote for Newsom?
No, I'm just saying there are options until you mail it. No,
that's true. Well, you can't erase it. It's an ink.
Oh.
No, I think it's done once you... I just realized this. For L.A. County voters, there's not only Measure A, which is the one we're telling you to vote no on. So the Board of Supervisors wants to be able to remove sheriffs from office like Villanueva. And then there's another one. I didn't even see this before. It was worth putting on the voter guide. County Measure C. Oh, my God. Los Angeles County Cannabis Business Tax Measure. Shall the measure enacting a tax in the unincorporated areas of Los Angeles County on cannabis businesses at annual rates not to exceed $10 per square foot? I mean, I thought this was already decided that they overtax this whole thing so much that we have so much illegal operations going on now. When does government ever learn that if you interfere and then you overtax, people will respond with their own measures? And I think that's one of the reasons that we have so many illegal grow operations is because really messed this up.
80% of the marijuana being grown is being grown illegally because the marijuana growers don't want to pay any of the taxes. So this will just add to that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to pay taxes for growing pot or selling pot or smoking pot. They don't want to pay.
No, well, I mean, it's a product, so maybe there should be a sales tax like there is. But, you know, this one wants to tax it per square foot.
Yeah,
it wants a gross receipts tax.
But when you have criminal organizations.
For various cannabis businesses.
But when you have criminal organizations.
Look at that. A tax on testing, a tax on distribution. Wow. And a tax on manufacturing for all of the cannabis businesses, 4%.
Well, they're not going to get much money out of it.
They claim they're going to get $10 to $15 million annually doing this.
That's not very much.
And $15 million.
It's for the county budget? County
budget. No, it's not a big part of the county
billions
budget.
And billions of dollars. No, the whole idea has failed. The idea of legalizing marijuana so you can tax it and make a lot of money from it as the government has failed. It's just not going to happen. And what you have now is the Mexican drug cartels and other criminal organizations. They are growing enormous amounts of marijuana in very hard to reach areas. And they're well fortified and protected, so nobody wants to take them on. So it's just going to be the way it is.
We're going to be talking about a couple of the other ballot measures. This would be the statewide ballot coming up later on in the show. The one that I saw, it's ahead in the polls and it's troubling. We'll be talking to John Kupal, his Proposition 30. That's the one where basically Lyft is trying to get rich people to pay for electric cars for their drivers. That's all it is. By raising their income taxes. And you wouldn't believe how high. It's going to be over 15%, the top income tax rate in the state of California. We mentioned last week that Newsom and the legislature pulled a couple of maneuvers to raise the taxes on wealthy even further than this ballot measure. So we'll talk to John Kupal later on in the show. A lot of people have wondered where this recording came from of the three council members and the leader of the LA County Federation of Labor. In other words, who made the recording, disseminated the recording. It was made a year ago, and now it just comes out. Well, pretty good speculation from a writer with Los Angeles Magazine. And the person that they're focusing on is actually running for city council right now against one of John's favorites, Mitch O'Farrell.
The cruise ship dancer.
Yes. This is Hugo Soto - Martinez. And if you don't know him, he's the leader of the Los Angeles chapter of the Democrat Socialists of America. The leader.
Yeah, this is the communist anarchist organization that has infiltrated much of L.A. government.
And they've already given us Nithya Raman and another council district.
Yeah, and there is Mike Bonin's staff has some of these members on it.
Right.
And so what they've done is they've infiltrated already, and now they're going to get more and more candidates in office. And it is really going to destroy Los Angeles even further.
He is 39 years old, a longtime activist and labor union organizer from South L.A., but he's running for the Mitch O'Farrell seat. As a veteran leader of the powerful L.A. Hotel Workers Union, Unite Here, Local 11, and an active participant in the L.A. County Federation of Labor, Soto Martinez sat on the Fed's board tasked with vetting candidates for union endorsements and grew friendly with the union president, Ron Herrera, when he was sworn in as president in October of 2019. Now, that's the man that resigned. He was the fourth person in the conversation. Well, as if the hints, well, the whole article lays out a really good case, including, remember we mentioned yesterday in the thread that was posted initially, whoever put up these recordings and then wrote about what a scandal this is because labor's in bed with City Hall. He said, just a coincidence, Martinez, last name, just a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
Same last name, no relation, something like that.
Yeah, he pointed out that there's no relation. He said, you know, here's the exact quote. The labor movement is in bed with City Hall. All you have to do is look close and listen to the recording. This recording I just received of Ron Herrera and Nuri Martinez, no relation, LOL. So that would indicate that the poster was named Martinez as well. And this Martinez, Soto Martinez is his full name, is the front runner to win the council district in Silver Lake, Los Feliz, and Hollywood. And he's going to knock off, according to the experts, Mitch O'Farrell.
Sources are saying in this story that Soto Martinez may have received the secret recordings from people affiliated with Unite Here Local 11, the hotel workers union for which he worked for years as an organizer and which is very active in the County Labor Federation. They also bring up Nithya Raman. Interestingly enough, a City Hall insider told LA Magazine that Nithya Raman was actually in possession of the tapes before they appeared in the media. Now, she's another Democrat socialist,
right?
You see.
Yes.
So she's probably aligned in some way with Soto Martinez.
And she's the one who is fighting for the rights of gang members to sell weapons out of homeless encampment tents in front of a school.
Right.
That's how far off she was. You may remember her when Fox 11 did the story on the crazy guy throwing bags of poop at a business owner.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago. It was Nithya Raman's district, and they went to Nithya Raman, and she didn't care. In fact, she was pissed off at the business owner for making such a ruckus just because poop was thrown at him. So she's really bad news, and she knew this was coming. So, Nuri Martinez may have been undermined by Nithya Raman and this incoming possible councilman, Hugo Soto Martinez. It may be the Democratic Socialists of America are trying to perform a coup and rid the council of the old guard and make room for more of them. In fact, if these three council
That would include people, Herrera and the council people. I think you're absolutely right.
That's right. Maybe there's new leadership for the Union Federation. And now you have three open seats if you get three resignations, and then they could run these Democratic Socialists of America candidates.
Well, Cedillo's already out, but his replacement, I don't know if she's a Democrat socialist, but she's the one I told you that's been screaming about rent ought to be a right, housing and everything.
It's the same philosophy.
It's the same philosophy. I didn't look up her history, but I think she's very closely aligned already.
It's communism is what it is, with a new dress. and they don't believe that people have individual property rights. If you don't believe that people should pay rent, then you don't believe in the rights of people who own buildings to take that building and rent it out. And that's exactly what they believed in the Soviet Union.
Apparently, in the leaked audio, this Herrera guy was revealing differences that arose between himself and this Hugo Soto Martinez. That he didn't show enough gratitude towards the Labor Federation as his candidacy gained momentum, and they did not officially endorse him in the race against Mitch O'Farrell, which is another piece in here. So, I had said this yesterday. It seemed like whoever did this was really trying to go after this Ron Herrera and the LA County Federation of Labor, as much as the city council members, because right. A lot of the postings were about him.
And he may have taped a lot of meetings and just, this was the motherlode. He listens to this meeting, goes, holy crap, I can bring them all down.
And why wait? Because we're close to the election now.
Right.
The ballots just went out. You see the timing of this?
Yeah.
So, you know, for his race or for possibly getting rid of some of the old guard, we realize that Kevin DeLeon's not on the ballot. Cedillo's already beaten. I don't think Dory Martinez wasn't on the ballot either.
No, but now there's going to be replacement elections of these people who resign in at least two of those seats. Yeah. That's what this is how politics really works in Los Angeles, and it's got nothing to do with us, the public, who's paying enormous amount of taxes, and we're overridden with insane homeless people and overridden with criminals, and this is what these people do.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, it's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, if they think this council candidate Hugo Soto Martinez is the guy who posted the leaked tape online, then it won't be hard to figure out who sent him the audio and who made the audio, and maybe those people will get arrested and put in prison for that because they broke the law.
Hmm.
Which is
does
what
anybody get arrested and put in prison in L.A. County these days? I mean,
I think they're going to want this guy to get put away.
Oh, I see.
He's caused enough trouble. Yeah, I think Gascon will be willing to prosecute this guy.
Wow. Well, some people might think he's a hero for exposing the council members.
Yeah, but there's plenty who are going to want to get him.
Hmm. Yesterday, a big story was this jury in Florida, which decided in the case of Nicholas Cruz back in 2018 on Valentine's Day, he went to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and he began shooting. This is in Parkland, Florida. He killed 14 students and 3 school staff members, injured 17 others. And I repeat, because you have to these days, he was 19 years old at the time. We're not dealing with somebody under the age of 18. I hate that delineation anyway. But it's worth pointing out because people always tend to give those under 18 a break. He was not. He was like a former student, as I recall. He went back because he was still bitter about his whole crazy life. He had a bad life, right? We know that. It doesn't matter. You don't kill people. And so what the jury was trying to figure out, well, were there enough mitigating circumstances to just give him life without parole?
You know, I mean, every criminal who's killed people in the history of man has either been mentally ill or had a bad childhood, an abusive childhood. They all have that story.
Yeah.
All of them. I don't know why, what day we decided to look at that and say, oh, that means you don't have to go to jail or you can get out early. It's like, what? They all
because
have the story. So
probably
what?
Just as many people, if not more, who have had bad childhoods who do not kill people.
Yes. Killing somebody is a choice you make. You know, if you're 19, you're choosing to get the gun and load the gun and drive over to the school and then open doors and start unloading bullets. You've made a lot of choices there. Has nothing to do with your childhood at all.
So the story today, well, there's two stories today. Obviously, there are still family members of victims, injured and dead, who are very upset with this decision not to give this guy the death penalty for what he did. Thinking, as I said yesterday, there are many on death row in Florida who have killed less people. They didn't understand this at all. The thing that happened today, too, is that the prosecution is asking for an investigation because one of the jurors apparently felt threatened. Supposedly, one of the jurors, some of the other jurors believed, had come to the trial and the deliberations for the penalty phase already deciding there's no way I'm putting this guy on death row. And I guess they got challenged on that. Now, they denied that that was their position, but they said that they felt threatened, and I guess they had sent a note indicating that supposedly it was a lot of tension. We mentioned this. It had to be unanimous, all 12.
Well, you know what?
So three of the 12 did oppose the death penalty, and one of them felt like they were threatened. And that's what...
When you have a bad system, then you're going to have all kinds of problems with it. And one is, hard to get 12 people to agree on something like this. You're going to have people sneaking on. You're going to have people suspicious that others are sneaking on to vote against the death penalty. If all you need is one person to get on, and you have, you know, you're a little crazy and you want to be part of the case and you want to gum this up and you think you're doing something heroic, then all you have to do is lie. I've always like laughed at jury questionnaires and when attorneys, you know, cross-examine you during the jury selection process. It's like, so just tell them what they want to hear. Just lie.
There's supposed to be better ways to figure that out with the questions you ask.
I don't think there has been.
You might be able to get somebody to stumble who's that much of a faker. Maybe not. I don't know. I thought by now they would have developed a better technique to try to ferret those people out or just lie.
But, no, because they work very quickly in court. They don't have a whole lot of time. They got to keep moving. Otherwise, everybody would get convicted, right? If it worked out, everybody would get convicted and everybody would get the death penalty. And it doesn't work out that way.
So the jury foreman went on CNN. His name is Benjamin Thomas. He said, of the 12 jurors, 3 voted against recommending the death sentence. I don't like how it turned out. There was one with a hard no. She couldn't do it. The other 2 just ended up voting the same way. But this is probably the woman that felt threatened because she was just firm right from the beginning. Because he was mentally ill, he should not get the death penalty, was her belief. And she left it at that. She was not moving from her stance.
That's a crazy person. See? She got on. She got in there. Bad system. I do not understand the jury system all my life. I've never understood it, never will understand it.
Here is Fred Gutenberg. He's the father of one of the victims of the Florida school shooting. Obviously not happy with the outcome to give this man life without parole and not the death penalty.
I'm stunned. I'm devastated. There are 17 victims that did not receive justice today. My daughter, you'll notice she was the 16th of the 17 to be read today. She was shot running down a hallway. Now, what mitigating factor was it that they used on her? Were they going to suggest that he didn't have the fine motor skill to shoot that gun as she was running down the hallway? This jury failed our families today. But I will tell you, the monster is going to go to prison. And in prison, I hope and pray he receives the kind of mercy from prisoners that he showed to my daughter and the 16 others.
That could happen.
He is going to go to prison, and he will die in prison. And I will be waiting to read the news on that. He should have received the death sentence today. There was no mercy for a murder that was planned over a long period of time. And that was, sadly, as proven by the state, executed. I don't know how this jury came to the conclusions that they did today, but 17 families did not receive justice because of what happened to our families. We are all in this position now of doing the work that we do around this country to keep this from happening to another family. And this decision today only makes it more likely that the next mass shooting will be attempted.
Now, we had a shooter last night in North Carolina, a 15-year-old, so
yeah,
didn't
never,
take long.
You're never gonna.
I don't think it was directly the outcome of this decision, but
you're never going to stop this stuff.
Probably not.
We don't take it seriously. Everybody just talks a lot. Everybody just blows their mouth. That's all. They make a lot of noise. But
yeah, in China they come and they put you to death, but right before that they take out your organs for transplants.
There we go. Let's start doing some of that in public on live TV.
You know, Saudi Arabia puts people in a stadium, right, and stones them.
There's a deterrent effect there. No, we just talk a lot. We just get really emotional and just say use all kinds of incendiary rhetoric, you know, and very dramatic. And it's good television. It's very captivating. But there's nobody in government who does anything.
Hey, you're right. There's no follow-up.
No, there's no follow-up. You know, there are guys plotting their mass murders on the internet right now in plain sight. People are reading the posts. and nobody does anything about it.
We're good at holding vigils and mourning and gathering together and healing.
Symbolic
and
stuff.
Processing and...
Yeah, no, we reel. We get rocked.
Oh, reeled and roiled.
We get roiled, recoiled, and then we light candles and we hum and pray. But we don't do all the hard work to actually get these people put away forever.
All right. We have more coming up. John and Ken, we're on KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right. Don't forget, the voter guide is there for you on the website, KFIAM640.com. Everybody should have their ballots by now if you're going to mail it in or you're going to wait, like John says, until Election Day. But take a look at it. Bring it with you. We're getting closer and closer to the big voting day of November 8th. We'll be talking about one of the ballot measures after 3 o'clock, and it concerns the ninny of all nannies. How's that for a description? The ninny of all nannies. Talking about a nanny state kind of person that believes that government needs to regulate every aspect of your life, including what you eat or consume. We'll talk about who this person is and why they matter in one of the ballot measures next hour, and also... This one kind of slipped past people, but the state of California has become the first in the nation to ban something else. Tell you what that is after the news.
Intelligence?
Clearly they've done that. They probably did that years ago.
Yeah, I don't
but
remember.
But I like that. Fill in the blank.
I don't remember that.
California promise. Becomes the first in the nation to ban intelligence. And also coming up, of course, in the 5 o'clock hour, we got a whole lot of Moist Line callers. We think. We don't hear them except our technical director, Eric Sklar, puts it together. Some of them are going to vent about the city council members. Got to believe that's in there. I don't know. And we do have a special edition of Hack in a Dumpster. It'll be Satan's Lake of Fire, which is pretty much our Lifetime Achievement Award for people that deserve to be burnt.
Yes.
In Satan's Lake of Fire. I forget what the chemicals are in there. Is it sulfuric acid or is it
I think
hydrochloric
so,
yeah. One of the ones that can
acid.
Really just, yeah.
I think because you something that makes you just disappear.
Yeah, right.
You evaporate. Right. You're blown into molecules.
Why don't we have that for, after you die? Because they're saying the cremation because of the, carbon.
Sure. Throw people in vats of hydrochloric acid, sure.
Well, now you can compost someone. So why can't you just throw somebody in a vat of hydrochloric acid? I wonder how many bodies you could throw in there before it, loses its effectiveness.
There's your next proposition.
You're right. I got something to do. I'll go collect signatures.
There you go. Start a nonprofit and start
raising
money.
Or get a legislator to carry it in Sacramento for me, the legislation. Here's a wild story, and it looks like it comes from California. There's a video that goes with it. You may not want to look at it. It's not the grossest thing ever, but it is really bizarre. There is an eye doctor by the name of Katerina Curtiva who said that in 20 years in the business, she has never seen anything like this. An elderly woman came to her with some vision problems. Things were blurry. She had a sharp pain in her eyes. The woman's in her 70s. So she came to the eye doctor with this complaint, and the eye doctor took a closer look and eventually found that the woman apparently had a buildup of contact lenses in her eyes. 23 of them had to be removed from her eyeball.
What was wrong with her?
So I guess these are the... But the temporary ones that you can replace, the really soft ones that you just kind of pop in there.
And she doesn't take them out?
She doesn't take them out.
She just adds new ones?
She apparently did. She just put the...
Well, you can't see if you're looking through 23.
Why her vision became blurry. I'm surprised it took this long.
And she did... Oh, there must be something seriously wrong with her brain. Honestly. 23 times you put in another contact lens, and so it keeps warping your vision a little more and a little more. She knows seniors, she's doing it.
Seniors are encouraged to visit an eye doctor once a year. She hadn't been there in 2 years. You can't tell me 2 years ago she didn't have some kind of problems with, or in 2 years she put in that many pairs of contact lenses in her eyes.
Well, the disposable
over
ones,
one another.
I don't even know how long they last, but I think so.
I don't either.
How old's this lady?
70s.
I think Alzheimer's.
But, and the doctor literally, did you watch the video, John? She She used a Q-tip to scrape the disposable lenses out of the woman's eye.
I can't watch that. No, I will not watch that.
It's kind of foul. And they're like lined up just beneath the woman's eye.
You
see
hurt.
One, two, three. It's like seven or eight of them. Yeah, well, they're really thin, sort of membrane-like, very thin.
Yeah, but 23 layers of anything is going to start to. Oh, God! That's just.
She said she pulled out a couple, but she could still see more. She got her assistant to record the removal on her phone, so that's why we're getting a video. And the eye doctor peeled them apart and counted 23 disposable. That's like an odd number, right? What happened to the 24th?
Aren't you not supposed to sleep with them in?
The disposable ones? Yeah, maybe you're not. I don't know. I don't.
I don't really.
I tried contact lenses, but it was the old hard ones, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't get them in. I couldn't get them out. I didn't like it.
Same thing.
This is a long time ago.
I couldn't do it either. And I had them in one day, and one of them, I was trying to get it out, and it flipped over inside my eye.
Oh!
Yeah.
The old hard lens?
The old hard lens, yeah.
Yeah, I had the old hard lens when I was
I was working at a place, and I just started screaming. And then somebody had to come run over, and I was holding my eyelid because I was afraid if I lowered my eyelid, it would crush the glass, and I'd end up with contact fragments in my eye. I completely freaked out on it.
And yeah, I remember looking at it.
I never tried to put anything in my eye again.
I was looking at it and thinking, this little tiny thing has to go into my eye. I didn't feel comfortable even doing it. And then I couldn't figure out how to place it in there, and I kept blinking. And then my eye kept watering, and I kept saying,
Now, I have no small motor control, so I just could not line it up properly. It would take me a long time. And after a few days, before I flipped the thing upside down, I thought, I can't do this the rest of my life. This is just not feasible. And I flinch. I don't like anything coming near my orifices.
Well, you need your mouth. You have to eat food. That's an orifice.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that either.
You don't even use a Q-tip in your ear or anything?
No,
because
you've
got the wax in your ears. Do you still have that buildup, or did that go away?
You used to get waxy
buildup.
It's lifetime.
So you still go every now and then to get it removed?
Yeah, and then I have a liquid, and you have to take 20 minutes, 10 minutes aside, drop 10.
You do it yourself.
But I do it myself, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I went to some guy years ago.
I've gone a few times. I went a couple of years ago, but that freaks me out too.
And what is it? You said wax? What accumulates in there?
It's wax. It's the wax is supposed to fall out, but my mother had this problem too. For some reason, it doesn't. It falls in instead of out, and I just slowly lose my hearing.
Oh.
And so you got to get drops. It's over the counter. It's like hydrogen peroxide, and it causes it to fizzle and bubble, and then everything comes sliding out.
Oh, here's a couple of explanations.
I'll take a video and show it to you during lunch one day.
Yes. Eric's right. You don't wear contact lenses while sleeping. Apparently, if you wear lenses for a long time, your corneal nerve endings will become desensitized. That's how possibly the woman didn't feel the 23 lenses intensely. But she must have known she wasn't taking them out.
She probably is.
Her age could have been a factor. Older people have a much deeper eyelid fornix, it's called. The least sensitive area in the contact lenses stayed there for years without troubling her until she got to 23, and then suddenly it's all blurry and she's uncomfortable.
Or, you know, she's got Biden's disease.
A little bit of...
brain no longer working.
Or just lazy, and it's like, I can see fine. It's comfortable. Just give me another pair to throw in there.
23 layers.
You know, it's like the little the little registration sticker on your license plate.
Yeah.
You're supposed to peel off the old one and stick the new one on, right? I just keep sticking the new one on over the old one.
Yeah. In your eyes, that's disgusting.
All right, we got more coming up. We're going to talk about a ballot proposition that apparently is being bankrolled by one person. Really, like almost all the funding. We'll tell you what that is and who that is. He's a pretty well-known person.
And he's a pain in the neck.
Yeah, like I said, the ninny of nannies.
John and Ken show. Mark Ronner has the news. KFI AM 640.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.